All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What's up?
Penn.
Yes.
Let's start off with the big news. Right?
Okay.
The big news is it's like 400 million degrees out.
Right. It's hot as Hades.
Right. And me, being the audiophile I am, I'm like, my air conditioner started to make some noises, some loud noises. Like, I'm kind of living with it and kind of thinking, how do I take care of this? What's next? What's it? But then we go to record the podcast and I'm like, can't have that.
Wait, what are you telling me?
I'm telling you, right now, I'm sitting here. I turned my AC off before we made this call. By the end of this podcast, I might be dead. It could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah.
You know, well, that reminds me of a few different things. First of all, once again, I'm reminded that there is no length that David Moulton won't go to for the show.
That's right. That's right.
This is a consummate professional, ladies and gentlemen, right here as we live and breathe. But also, I think we should share our listeners. You mentioned that by the end of the show, you might be dead. And last week, we spoke, sort of had a theme, right, throughout the show of like death and dying, right?
Yeah.
Now, I want to assure our listeners that this week, during our weekly pre-show staff meeting.
We got the whole crew together.
Yeah, we got everybody together in the staff room where we meet.
Yeah.
You know, sitting around. Somebody was taking minutes. We have memos.
Yeah. And of course, Bob, always late, walks in. Right. He stands in the door like, oh, I was here the whole time. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we know.
Right, yeah. Right. And committees. We have committees and subcommittees. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, at our weekly staff meeting before the show, I was the second person to arrive, and when I arrived, it was mid dance party.
Yeah, that's true.
Just saying, we had to bust a move, so the show might be a little bit off today. We might be half a step behind, because instead of our usual professional, careful planning and rehearsing of the bits.
Yeah, well, we had to get a breakdance down.
Yeah, yeah, we were breakdancing.
Yeah, it's true.
And waltzing.
It's true.
Yeah. What's more likely to see you, breakdancing or waltzing?
Waltzing.
Waltzing.
Well, yeah. Because you tell me to breakdance, and I'd be like, okay, I'm willing to try this, right? And then you put the mat down, and then I'd just be thinking, this is really going to hurt.
But I had to ask the question, because I picture you, like, you're a man of intrigue. I mean, you wore your suit, you got your briefcase in school. Yeah. Like, it would, if somebody told me David at one point in his life was a semi-pro breakdancer, I wouldn't even bat an eye.
I'm gonna look. We'll give a funny story before we get into this, right?
All right.
There's two parts to this. So first off, you mentioned that you think that I might have had a secret dance life. Well, in high school, with the briefcase, with the suits and stuff.
Hey girl.
I had a dance known as the Dance of Seduction, and it was my way of turning around someone who was trying to make fun of me. And I don't know why this guy's like, but David dances like this. And like, and I was like, oh yeah, I do. And I just did it. And some girl was like, well, I'm seduced. This is like in high school. And I was like, yeah, it's because it's my Dance of Seduction. And it got known as the Dance of Seduction. And I would do it for people and be like, consider yourself seduced. And then I'd move on. And it was like this famous thing when I went back and worked as a faculty member of the building, like there were kids like still in school who knew me from this dance, right? crazy. I stopped doing it a long time ago because I'm like, ah, this kind of kinks the back a little. I'm not as young as I used to be. That's right. As I once was. But on top of that, conservative Christian school, you know, that I went to, you get the, when you, you know, in the yearbook, you get most likely to whatever. They had all the normal ones. Right. But then they had special ones that the teachers gave you at our senior prom, or we called it a banquet.
Right, right.
Well, remember, conservative Christian school, my principal gave me the certificate, most likely to be a Chippendale dancer. Did he know what a Chippendale dancer is? I feel like he must not have, whoever suggested that. But that's what the faculty gave me as my most likely to. So
I would really like to go down the rabbit hole and talk about conservative Christian high schools, because there's got to be just like endless material there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to grab this steering wheel and yank us back into Hollywood. So we had a big weekend at the box office because F9 opened to a stunning $70 million at the box office. We had all the cliche, obnoxious headlines that I hated to say, oh, movies are back, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't here 3 weeks ago. But anyway, so yeah, that was big news, and we're going to review what you and I thought of F9 in a few minutes. But in the meantime, isn't that great that we have, I think, a proper, I mean, blockbuster would be the word, right?
Yeah. Now, here's my question. Did it perform super well for you?
Yeah, it was the number one movie by a good bit.
Because I went in to watch it, and some unknowns were like, this movie's bombing. No. Nobody's coming out to see it. I'm like, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, there's a line to get in the IMAX. And I'm like, is it though? Like, right. Like, there's more people than I've seen here in a long time. Like, are you sure?
You know, I love my guys.
They weren't telling everyone that. That was definitely like...
No. I know. But here, I think a lot of times... So here's what I was going to say. First of all, I have been given bad reports. I've been told like such and such movie fell and like bombed. And then I come in on Monday to do my bookings and it's like the number one movie by, you know, 10 grand. But what I was going to say, because some people might have come in to see F9 and been like, oh, well, there was only 10 people or 25 people in my auditorium. You know what I did? We had F9 playing like 13 different times a day.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so you do see that with some of the bigger movies, especially like $70 million is exactly the sweet spot for like, it's big enough that we played it in all the big houses, but it's small enough that you could easily go. If you told me you went to a movie Saturday afternoon and there was 18 people in the auditorium, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Because there's a movie, there's another show of F9 15 minutes later.
Right.
You know,
it's playing in almost all the houses.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right. Certainly playing in all the big houses. Now, the question I want to ask, so this coming weekend we have a couple art movies that we're opening, we'll talk about in a minute, and we have Boss Baby and Forever Purge, and those movies are all going to be well in second place or third place or fourth place. So the next shot for a big title is Black Widow on July 9th, actually opens in the evening on July 8th. You think Widow can get to $100 million?
No. I don't.
Oh.
You know what my problem is with Widow, and I'm
like, what's your problem?
You know that I.
What's your problem with David?
What's your problem with David? My thing with Widow.
What
right?
problem with David?
With David. Hey, it's me. I'm David. Here's my problem.
And here's my problem. All right, what's your problem?
I'm hyped for this movie.
Right.
But.
As you should be.
This movie's more than, I think, more than F9. I think the only other movie that's done it, that's had this more, would be Bond, and they've backed off. But this movie started promotion and didn't stop. And
started promoting it in March of 2020.
Right.
And never stopped.
And just have been slow dripping us this movie for so long. I turned to my friend in front of F9 when we watched the great newest trailer, and I said, I really want to see this movie, but I'm really ready for it to be over as well. Like, I'm ready for the next stuff to happen.
All right. So this is great. Cause what?
Well, I just think that people might have a little bit of fatigue for it, and it's not even out.
Okay. I hear you. And I respect your position.
Yeah. But I'm wrong.
But you're wrong. So here's the thing. So we have next week when we record, we'll have to think of a bet. And because I think Black Widow gets $100 million.
Okay.
So I think between F9 and the holiday weekend, there's going to be a lot of people. I think everybody and their brother is going to be through the turnstile to see a movie this weekend. And when you do, you're going to see a trailer for Black Widow. I don't care what movie you're going to bring in your four-year-old, your little four-year-old niece and nephew to see Peter Rabbit too. You're watching Black Widow.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like seven other Red Band trailers, right?
You're bringing Grandma to see Queen Bees. Guess what?
Black Widow in your face.
Black Widow. No, but seriously, I do think that – okay, your argument is not crazy, okay. But I think the hype is real, and maybe I have a different perspective because I see people walk by the Black Widow poster every single day and say, can't wait to see that.
You could be right. I feel like, okay, you say 100 million. I think opening weekend, I don't think you can make that, but I think long run it can.
Okay, well, the bet has to be opening weekend.
Okay, opening weekend. All right.
Because I think that in the long run, it's definitely obviously going to make 100 million, but so is F9.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. All right, moving on. There was a lot of little news this week that didn't – a lot of TV, Netflix stuff. But we did get some weird things. For instance, Kaley Cuoco – I think that's how you say it.
Cuoco.
Cuoco. By the way, Chris Hall Productions says he wished there was a wiki. Someone would create a wiki of all the mispronounced people we say, and that they, as if they were real people, create this the PCPU, Pennsylvania Podcast Universe of people.
So, yes.
Yeah. So Kaley Cuoco and
Cuoco.
Cuoco?
We're going to go with Cuoco.
Cuoco. Kaley Cuoco and Pete Davidson will start in a Meet Cute. In Meet Cute. Not a Meet Cute. The movie's called Meet Cute. It's a sci-fi romantic comedy about a young couple who somehow gain the ability to go back in time and heal their past traumas and problems, presenting them with the opportunity to turn each other into the perfect partner for life. And the director of Paddington is attached. That's Alex Lehman. Lehman. Lahman? Lehman. Lahman.
What are we doing here?
What do you think of this idea?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I don't know anything about this. Here's what I think. I've never heard of Kaley Cuoco, and I love Pete Davidson. Yeah. So I hope it's good.
Here's what I tell you right now. Someone write this down, because you know I'm not going to remember. You know, Penn's already forgotten, and I haven't even said it yet. Is that the end of this movie, they'll discover that it's our faults that make us who we are.
I'm going to hold out an opinion on this movie. I'm going to hold off on having an opinion on this movie until I see what happens to Pete Davidson in Suicide Squad. All right. David.
Yeah.
Do you remember a number of weeks ago at the staff meeting when we were like, you know, the burden can't always be just on us to come up with all the news.
Right.
Right. We need more contributors. We need news contributors.
Yeah.
And then we hired that person to find hard hitting journalism for us.
Right. And they finally pulled through.
They pulled through. I'm pleased to announce that the newest Penn Cinema podcast contributor has made her first contribution to the show. Amy Ketchum has this hard-hitting news to share with our listeners. Right. Thank you.
Just in.
Right. This just in, even though we've already talked about it on the show. Like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to our newest contributor, It's such a Penn Cinema podcast thing to report news that we already discussed 6 months ago, but I'm going to do it anyway. According to the newest Penn Cinema podcast contributor, Quentin Tarantino has announced his retirement after his 10th and final film.
Right. Now, this is something you and I already know, but I'm going to give our esteemed master's degree, doctorate degree.
Doctor
Amy Ketchum.
Yes.
The benefit of the doubt here, because this was making the circuits this week.
Right.
Because he just went on Bill Burr and said his next movie is his last one. Bill Maher. And said his next movie will be last one. So he's kind of out there. Because the last time he said it, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm only going to do one more. And then he's like, well, one more original film, but I'm going to do Star Trek and Kill Bill and all that we've talked about before. So it is.
So now it's official.
Yeah.
Dr. Ketchum reports. That's the name of our new segment.
Right.
Dr. Ketchum reports that it is now official. And it came up, as you said, what's his face? Harvey Keitel was on Bill Maher and Quentin Tarantino was speaking to Variety. And I did catch a quote from Tarantino that I thought was pretty great.
Oh.
Here's Tarantino, I think on Bill Maher, says, "That's why I want to quit, because I know film history. And from this age forward," referring to himself, "directors do not get better." I wonder if Scorsese heard him say that. coming from the guy that made 10 movies.
Meanwhile, you've got why can't I think of his name? Avatar guy.
Yeah.
In the James corner, Cameron. Like, no, don't tell him that.
right.
Yeah.
All right. You got any Borderlands news? It's been a long time since we discussed that.
Yeah. Well,
It's been like 127 shows since we last discussed Borderlands.
I feel like every time we talk about Borderlands and the casting and this and that and how they're making it and whatever, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. I mean, cool, they're doing Borderlands. I guess it's gonna be a thing eventually, right?
And then you report on it, and what? I forget that we ever discussed it.
Right, and I do too. But then this week they're like, oh hey, Borderlands wrapped filming, and I'm like, wait, what? Like they did it?
What's this now?
It's not just like talk anymore. Like how did I miss? Like we made some big jumps there in my brain from concept to actual thing. So. Yeah.
That's so good. I love it.
Yeah. So I also have some news about Rachel Zegler.
Right.
You don't know who she is, right?
No, I totally know who she is. I'm not looking her up on IMDb now.
Because I didn't know who she was.
Okay.
But everyone's going to know who she is as soon as West Side Story comes out, because she's Maria in the West Side Story. So she's about to be the next big Rachel Zegler.
Mm.
You know, she's going to throw the other ones out of the side.
Right.
Well, she's been cast as Snow White in Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs for the live action Disney remake.
I feel like that's going to be a big movie.
Probably.
You know what else she's planning to be in?
What?
Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's another movie that's like... Even though we're seeing set pictures, when they're done, they're like, we wrapped filming. I'm going to be like, really? No, did you? Or did you just start?
Right. But you know what's wild, though? Like, all kidding aside about Rachel Zegler?
Yeah.
Her credit on IMDb has three movies to it, and we just talked about all three of them. West Side Story, Snow White, and Shazam. Is this going to kind of be like Daisy Ridley? Like, all of a sudden, she's the biggest... actress, she's like an A-list star, and we go from never heard of her to having three massive movies in a row.
Well, I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe not everyone can be a Chloe Grace Moretz, you know?
Yeah, I mean, not everybody can be Scarlett Johansson either, tell you what.
I can, though. I got the body for it. Speaking of Scarlett Johansson... Have you ever looked at Scarlett Johansson and said, do you know what she would star in perfectly? and been like a movie about the Tower of Terror ride.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's just so right? obvious. Yeah? It's so obvious.
Yeah. Every time I look at her, I was like, man, just missed opportunity here. She could be a star of a ride from Disney Tower of Terror. Well, guess what? She's more than just starring. She's producing the Tower of Terror movie based on the ride. We got Jungle Cruise. We got Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right, right.
Tower of Terror. Here we come. Get
is
ready.
Is she going to be like Elizabeth Banks and like have the opening credit sequence be like Elizabeth Banks presents.
Elizabeth Banks
directs. Elizabeth Banks in Tower of Terror starring Elizabeth Banks.
I mean, I figure it's just a matter of time. You know?
Speaking of terror, does everybody know what the word infuriating means?
Do you know the word infuriating? Because it sounded like midway through you were like, where am I going with this?
No. I'm not good at saying it, which is why I wanted to talk about the word before I used it in a sentence, because I'm not good at enunciating the word infuriating.
Okay.
Did I say it right?
You did it better that time. Yeah.
Better that time. Yeah. Okay. Well, I have some news to share with the group that I find infuriating. I don't know how you feel about this news.
Well, I mean, things have happened. And
do you find this story annoying?
You know what? My answer might surprise you.
Okay. The headline that we're sharing that has me infuriated is that Dune is getting moved again from October 1st to October 22nd, which I'm assuming is like basically 3 weeks later. This makes no sense to me at all. It infuriates me because if it was moving from like November 1st to Thanksgiving weekend, all right. Or if it was moving from like December 1st to December 18th, aka Star Wars weekend, like, okay. But October 22nd is nothing. Like, who cares? Right. The difference between October 1st and October 22nd is nothing. All this news does is confuse moviegoers and sows the seeds of doubt.
Yeah. No, I will agree with you. This, I was very ambivalent to this. I just, like, I got the news and I was like, whatever. Like,
right.
I feel like November is the time that this should come out. It just feels right.
Absolutely.
It should be cold out and you should go see this movie about it being really hot. And like, yeah. But what really got me down is I went to the comment section of IO9 where I was reading the article on this. Or was it Joe Blow? I can't remember. I went to the comment section only to find a bunch of people saying that Denis Villeneuve was crying and moaning about nothing, and that they should just release it day and date, and that more people will watch it that way because people aren't going to go see this in the movie theater because they're either going to be like, what is this? I don't know. I either don't know enough of what this is about to want to go see it, or they'll think it's a remake of, like, they think it's connected to the Sting movie and not realize it's its own thing. And all of my fears as a Dune aficionado peaked really, really hard there, and because that's what I'm like afraid of, and I don't like that stance. And a lot of people were like, yeah, they just put it in at home, more people will watch it.
I have two things to share with you, David.
Yeah.
First of all, a little life lesson. This is free of charge. This applies to everybody.
Yeah.
And there's no extra charge. I'm just going to give this valuable advice to everybody.
Yeah.
Don't ever read the comments section on something that matters to you, even if it only matters to you a little bit. Like, even if you only care about it just a little bit. The only time you should read the comments section is when it's on a topic of something that you don't care about at all. If you care any little tiny bit about something, you should never look at the comment section.
Yeah, it was a bad move.
Yeah.
And in my weakness, I fell prey.
Okay. My second thing is that these internet trolls that you accidentally read are wrong.
That's what I was like. Isn't that true? We have a podcast, I know.
And what makes me say that is I can speak now, David, as a Dune reader.
Oh, my God.
And I can tell you that with every turning page, I am more and more excited to see this movie in the theater.
Yeah, boy. That's what I like to hear.
All right. Let's. You got any happier news you can share with?
I got. Well, I know. This is something you've been waiting for.
I've been anxious.
Yeah, and
struggling.
One might even say a lifelong dream of yours. Right.
It's why I built. Everybody knows this is why I built the theater.
Right. Yeah. Polly Pocket's getting a live action movie. I mean, you thought you had him with Dora the Explorer, but when Polly Pocket pops out, she's like, here I am, yeah, or whatever it is she says, her catchphrase is, and you're like, whoa, this is the movie I need to see. This is the franchise I've been waiting for. Penn Ketchum on the front page of Variety.
I just hope we get some cool banners and some standees. Yeah. I want Penn Cinema to be decorated and lit up from head to toe in Polly Pocket.
Yeah. I will go as far as say that they'll probably come out with a Polly Pocket playset of Penn Cinema because it's going to get real meta like that, you know?
That would be the dream.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this mess up. I got three news items to share with you. One of them is controversial.
Oh, boy.
Disney released Luca in a movie theater in California.
What?
And as if that news was not disturbing enough, the theater that they released it in is called El Capitan, which is, in fact, owned by Disney.
Wasn't there a big legal thing about this?
Yeah, there was a huge legal thing. It was called the Paramount Decree,
and
we discussed it.
Yeah.
And you heard it on the Penn Cinema podcast, and I believe I even said something ridiculous like it's not the end of the world because they're going to make the most money by putting movies in as many theaters as possible. But Disney has now set the industry on its head, and everybody's kind of freaking out. So stay tuned. It'll be really interesting to see how this plays out.
I know someone who saw it there.
Really? In LA?
Yeah. And I was like, how are they seeing this in the theater? And I was like, I guess someone just played it. And then I didn't even realize that it was that big of a thing.
Yeah.
They had pictures of it and stuff.
Yeah. It was massive. All right. Getting back to studios that we do like, we are releasing this Friday. I just wanted to share with the listeners because a lot of times people like tell me like, oh, why didn't you get Summer of Soul? And I'm like, brah, we played it for 4 weeks. Why didn't you freaking come see it?
Brah.
So, brah. So we have two movies that if you're not the F9 audience, if you're not the blockbuster Forever Purge audience, you might want to know that starting this Friday, we are opening Zola, which looks like it's from A24. And I remember we discussed this on the show. And I think it has the potential to get some Oscar buzz.
Ooh.
The reason why I booked it is because it's from A24, a studio that we have mad respect for, and they've put out some really great movies. And I think it has some Oscar possibilities. The downside, the reason why I hesitated, is because I don't think this movie knows what it wants to be, and that causes me concern. But a movie that 100% knows what it wants to be is Questlove's new movie, Summer of Soul, which is also opening this week.
Oh.
Remember we talked about that one? It's like half documentary and half it's all the like these great mostly Motown singers and and Questlove did it, and I was able to snag a copy. Actually, ironically, this movie is being released by one of Disney's bitches called Searchlight.
Ooh.
If you remember, they picked that up in the auction. It's like when you buy a building and they have like a bureau in there, a grand piano. You know, like, well,
it just comes with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, fuck. I guess somebody ought to play the piano every now and then. So they put out this movie, Summer of Soul, and I had to beg like some kind of second-class citizen to get a print of it, but I managed to get two prints, so Summer of Soul will be playing in Lititz and in Wilmington, as will Zola. So we're repping the Wilmington folks. We're really excited to be able to bring Summer of Soul and Zola to the Riverfront this week, starting July 2nd, and we will also be opening Boss Baby and Forever Purge. Okay, the third news item. David.
I don't know if my heart can take it.
I don't want to freak you out.
I'm already freaked out.
See, what people need to understand is when we do this show, it's really like I frequently forget that there's anybody ever listening. And I feel like it's basically my weekly therapy with David.
Well, it's like I was at my mom. She's like, how do I get the podcast on Alexa? And I was like, well, let me look. And it was like, she's 36 episodes behind. It's like, come on, mom.
Come on, mom. Well, I was speaking to a fancy schmancy reporter who shall remain nameless.
Whoa.
But I'm a huge fan of his, and I think he likes Penn Cinema. I know he does. We're friends. And but he's like a stud. And he's kind of like the guy, you know?
Whoa.
And like when we started wanting to build a movie theater, everybody was like, you got to call this guy. Make sure down in Wilmington I'm talking about. And last week we were talking, you and I were talking about something about emails and something about my emails. And anyway, I was using his email as an example. I didn't mention his name or like the exact topic, but then I had an interview with him. Like he was interviewing me about the history of something or other down at the Riverfront. And he was like, oh yeah, I know. He goes, he sent me an email. And he goes, I would ask you how it's going, but I listen to the podcast, so I already know. And I'm like,
oh.
So I'm not going to be able to BS this guy, you know? So anyway, yeah, just watch yourself because people are listening to the show now more than ever.
Now more than ever. Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm no longer, when I walk in the theater, I'm like, hey, hi, how you doing? I'm David from the podcast. It's not like blank stares. Now the employees are, they're like, yeah, I know.
Right. We know who you are.
Yeah.
We recognize the briefcase.
Yeah. You're the suits. All right. You ready to move on to the trailers?
Please. Okay. I thought you would never ask.
All right. We have four trailers this week, right? And one of them had me flabbergasted. But we'll get to that.
Hmm.
What do you want to start with? You pick.
Well, I'll pick the one that I didn't finish.
Okay.
And that, of course, is Candyman Trailer 2.
Okay.
Is that the one that had you flabbergasted?
No.
Okay. No. This is for the horror movie Candyman, which looks like it has a little bit of an interesting premise, and I'll probably watch it. But I watched the first, like, 30, 40, 50 seconds of this trailer, and I was bored.
Yeah. I'll give you that. Didn't really have much new stuff to it. Seemed very by the books. I don't know. There's a lot of talk around this movie. We'll see if it lives up to it. That's all.
I think it's going to come and go, and it's going to be a normal, like, I think it's going to do fine. And I think the studio will do everything in its power to create some kind of buzz or controversy or chit chat or whatever. But I think at the end of the day, it's just another horror movie.
Yeah. I think you're probably right there. So,
the next movie that I want to talk about is Sing 2.
Okay. This is the one that had me flabbergasted.
Really?
Yeah. Because two things. One, the whole time I'm like, there was a Sing 1? I don't, what? Huh? What is this franchise, David, that I don't know anything about? And the other thing during this trailer that I kept thinking is, who is this movie for? It's not for kids, or is it? But it definitely deals with like hard depression life issues, and they don't mess around with telling you that in the trailer. And I'm like, this is some heavy shiz for a kid, but it's clearly a kid movie.
You
So flabbergasted, neither negative nor positive, just very curious.
Right, right. Okay, so I'm just going to say you're out of the loop.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say you missed the first one. I mean, the voices, the people involved in this, I'm going to just give you two names, and then I'm going to give you two more names.
Okay.
People who do voice work on this movie, and think about the movies that they have done in the past and think about what they're working on now. And first I'm going to give you two women, Reese Witherspoon and Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
I mean, those are intelligent actors who are making really interesting choices and really interesting movies. And I don't think either one of them is afraid to talk about the heavy stuff.
I don't know what's going on. That was the thing. Like,
okay. The other two are men, Matthew McConaughey and Seth MacFarlane, both of whom also have really interesting track records in terms of what projects they've chosen to do with their notoriety and their fame and, you know, whatever. So I would just say, I thought this trailer looked great. I think that the cast is amazing, and I don't know how you missed it, what you were doing in 2016, but Sing 1 was a huge hit, huge movie. And what I thought of when I watched this trailer is the opposite of what you were saying about Black Widow. I was like, oh, shit, we knew this movie was coming, but we haven't thought about it in a long time. And now all of a sudden, like, it's coming.
It is.
Yeah. So that's the story there.
Let's talk about a movie that also is just here.
Okay.
And that's Annette. This movie looks overly ambitious to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I want to be excited about this and be like, oh, it looks weird. Like, what was the movie we reviewed last week that looked really weird? But it was like the kind of weird that you were kind of like, oh, Wes Anderson. This is just like, I don't know, man.
No, it was.
It's got Adam Driver.
It hits theaters on August 6th. It's an Amazon movie. And then it has 2 weeks later, you can watch it at home. So it'll be interesting to see if a non-blockbuster, or let me rephrase that. It will be interesting to see how a non-blockbuster movie fares with a two-week window.
They're going to have to blow up their advertising.
They're going to have to blow up their advertising, and I think it's high risk because, you know, if I'm talking about F9, like, if I'm interested in that movie, I want to see it in a theater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's an exciting big screen adventure. Annette.
Yeah.
You could probably watch it at home.
Yeah.
All right, last but not least, everybody's trailer of the week. Am I correct in assuming that?
Oh, yeah.
Take us.
Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings. Trailer 2. The first trailer was really, really fantastic and showed us a lot of comedy, lightheartedness, action. This trailer was for story and Marvel fans. That like to dissect things. First off, the Ten Rings are no longer rings on the finger, they're rings on the arm, and we got to see them doing all sorts of really cool things. Also, apparently there's like magic outside of the rings, that we saw them moving water and air and stuff. More of the story of who he is, what his thing is, who the Mandarin is, if he's going to be the Mandarin or whatever. But the big things to take out of this one, two really huge things. One, and this is an assumption, he's in the water and he sees Fing Fang Foom, which is a giant alien dragon that gives the rings powers in the comics. So that's really cool. And the other big thing that everyone I knew was like, wait a minute, and rewinding it for? Abomination. He fights Abomination in a cage match. And Abomination was the villain from the Hulk movie that no one watches. And it's just cool to see that, like, finally the Hulk stuff is kind of coming back. Because they had a lot of dead ends in that movie that could have, like, the movie's bad, but the characters could be repurposed really easy. Like, we have already seen Thunderbolt Ross back as, like, the, you know, the guy bossing around the Avengers that everyone hates. You know, there's little ways that they could bring these guys back. So, what do you think?
I can't compete with that. I thought it was cool. I mean, that's all I got.
For the record, I thought it was cool.
I thought it was cool.
No, I did. I think it's possible that Shang-Chi ends up being my favorite movie of 2021.
Ooh.
Like, I'm super excited for it.
Nice.
No, what do you think?
No, I think, I think it looks great and amazing.
Yeah.
And I think some people who don't know what it's about are going to be, like, pleasantly surprised.
Oh, wait a minute. Dune's going to be... Oh, No Time to Die.
Yeah, Dune's coming out. That's going to be your favorite movie of all time.
No Time to Die, Eternals, a lot of good movies this year.
I'm just saying people are going to be surprised by this one.
Okay.
Let's get into our movie this week. You ready? You're talking. This is going... What?
Hang on. Let me do a couple lines of cocaine first, and then I'll be ready.
Are you living your life 1 mile at a time?
No, David. One quarter mile at a time.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Right.
One quarter mile at a time. Would you say that it's all about family?
I would. Okay. I would.
That's pretty good because this movie, it's all about family. And that's F9, Fast and Furious Saga. F9. Well, tell me what you thought about this movie, Penn. How did you see it?
I did see it. I was just going to give a disclaimer. I saw this on the, what do they call it? The installment plan. So I watched it for a little while, and then I got called away to do something, and then I came back and watched it a little while more, and then I watched the end of it this afternoon while I was working in Ephrata. I stood in the back pretending like I was working and watched it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Before we get into the movie, I want to give a quick shout out to one of our favorite websites, joblo.com, joblo.com. If you're listening to this podcast, you might be interested. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't know about joblo.com, then you would be interested to know. This is a really cool website for regular moviegoer people like us. And they always put like a little quote type of thing in a thought bubble or a speech bubble at the top of their website. And the little thought bubble today says, go see F9 in a movie theater.
Nice.
And I think, so you asked me what I thought about it. That's what I thought about it. I thought, like, if you're going to analyze the movie, then you already lost. Right?
This movie is
pure adrenaline, fun, cheesy, corny. It's the perfect movie for seeing in a movie theater when you want to, like, escape.
Yeah.
But if you want to like talk about movie going, storyline and character development and whether or not cars can fly in space, this is not the movie for you.
First off, the Fast and Furious franchise is not for you if that's what you think.
Right.
I really enjoyed this movie. I didn't love it as much as 8. I think 8 I liked way more, but 8 was in some ways more over the top with the action.
Is 8, I think when this franchise is done and buried in like another 20 years, I think 8 is going to stand out as something special.
Yeah, I think you're going to be right because they're wrapping up the first story arc or something they said. Like they're making 10, like 9 and 10 and then like supposedly it'll continue on, but that's going to be a wrap of this like generation.
Like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's going to be like phase 2.
Right.
And it's also interesting, speaking of Marvel, that the Fast and Furious franchise is now the number 5 all-time franchise.
Wow. Okay, so things that I loved about this movie that were great. I loved this one more than any of the other ones. You need knowledge of the other movies to really fully get it. More than the other ones you can get by. But especially knowledge of Tokyo Drift.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen the trailers and stuff, but somehow I missed the fact that Little Bow Wow and the other guy from Fast Furious Tokyo Drift were in this one. And when the guy gets up and starts talking, I'm like, wow, they finally brought him back. And I loved when they meet up with him and they're like, Dom Toretto sent us, and there's this big like at their faces, and the guy's like, "Who's that?" It's like, "Oh yeah, they didn't." Only one of the three guys actually met him, you know. So they're just My only disappointment was a lot of the crazy stuff was spoiled in the trailers.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. But it was still really fun to see. Really great how they pulled these characters together. I love Han's back, and they have like no real explanation for how he survived. He's like, he starts telling a story, and even the characters are like, get to the part where you blow up and don't die. And in the scene, he's like, ah, Mr. Nobody just makes it look like you die. And like, they show him in the car, somebody walks past, and he's just not in the car anymore. And it's like, what? Okay, whatever. All right, fine.
Did you stick around for the post-credits?
I did.
Scene with Jason Statham?
Yeah.
That was interesting, because what, that's the guy who Jason thought was dead. That's Han, right?
Right, yeah. He's the one who killed Han, but Jason Statham's been redeemed as a good guy, so it's
since
like,
then.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
I loved Han being back. I loved everyone being back. I like the fact at the end of the movie, they're like, Brian's going to be here in a minute, and he pulls up, and then like the movie ends and you just don't see him. So I had a good time. I enjoyed this one.
You know what else I liked that surprised me? And I didn't really notice how much I liked it until the credits. The soundtrack was great.
Oh yeah.
Like I feel like in past Fast and Furious, it's been just, I don't know. It just feels like I'm at a nightclub. But this soundtrack, I thought it was pretty tight, and there was good music, and I don't know, I thought it was sharp.
I really enjoy how two of the characters have a constant conversation about, are they superheroes? And and I thought they were going to get to the conclusion that, like, we're in a movie. And because there's a big thing about when people talk about the franchise, and this is super nerding out about Fast and Furious, where in Tokyo Drift, Bow Wow is the only character in the entire series to ever acknowledge the camera. He looks directly at the camera and he winks in one scene. And they're like, this character knows, like, it's like Deadpool. He knows he's in a movie.
Yeah.
But I was waiting for them to be like, what if we're in a movie? And then to get this like meta thing where they were constantly trying to kill themselves and they couldn't, but it just kept happening that they couldn't, like things were happening. They're like, how are you alive? I don't even have any scars, man. Like maybe we're invincible, you know, that kind of craziness. So
that'd be great. And then have Ryan Reynolds come walking in from Free Guy.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Be like, it is a game.
Well, you know, there's been talks about crossing this movie over with the Jurassic World stuff. Can you imagine? I just want them riding dinosaurs.
Oh my God. That's the last thing that's left for them to do.
Yeah.
But speaking of Jurassic World, did you see Fast 9 in IMAX or regular?
I saw it in the IMAX, specifically to see the Jurassic World thing. Did you get to see
it? How was it? I did not see it yet. How was it?
Not worth your time.
Oh.
It's not that it's bad. It's just nothing. It's just nothing. It's just dinosaurs walking around, not story stuff. It just was very lackluster and did not feel like it was worth my time.
You know whose idea that was?
Who?
Somebody who doesn't have a great imagination, who convinced the rest of the people in the meeting that this is just like the teasers, the stinger that Marvel puts at the end of their movies. It doesn't have to have story. It doesn't have to have – it can just be, you know, I don't know, some guy sitting in a donut shop.
Yeah. It should
have been. But Marvel has the magic. Marvel has the magic touch. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It reminds me of like when George Costanza tried to wear his hat backwards and be like Tony. You know what I mean? In Seinfeld. Like, it works for Tony. It doesn't work for George.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's no main characters. There's no story. Like, you just see dinosaurs in their natural habitat, and you see a dinosaur like in current time. And it was really lackluster. Anyway,
that's frustrating it's frustrating for a variety of reasons. First of all, because I was hoping that it was going to be cool, but also because Universal made such a big deal about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It should not be your only reason to see it in IMAX. The movie's totally worth seeing in IMAX, but it should not just be your only reason.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So Fast and Furious 9, F9, Saga, Times, whatever. We're on board.
What are we doing next week?
What are our options? What are we going to do?
We can watch Boss Baby, The Forever Purge, Zola, or The Summer of Soul.
I'm between Summer and Summer of Soul and Zola. What do you feel?
Summer of Soul.
Let's do that then. All right. So moving on to listener notes, questions, answers, comments, true emotional feelings, and so forth.
Free therapy.
Yeah. I know that you've heard what we think about this movie, but do you want to hear from someone who knows about this movie? Who
really knows? I do. I do.
Well, let me tell you.
The shadow knows.
The shadow knows what's up with this movie, Fast 9. He says it's good.
Isn't he like a legit college graduate?
Dude, straight up legit college
straight.
Graduate.
He's an academic, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
A big man on campus, they called him.
Yeah, no big deal.
So he says F9 was good. Characters were surprisingly still the same. And tying the story together was well done. The only thing was with the car in space. I don't think they knew what to do with it there, but I guess the only thing left is time travel, he said.
Oh, yes!
So, criminals turn super spies. That's what this is all it, this is.
But then he wraps up his email with a concerning sentence.
Uh-oh. He says, what do you know? I'm just a lowly moviegoer.
What?
I don't know if he realizes this, but he's a college graduate.
There is no higher form. There is no greater praise that we could heap upon a listener than to say, you, my friend, are a movie viewer.
Yeah.
You're among the most important people in the world.
Certainly. Certainly. There are two types of people in the world. There are those who view movies.
Who we love. That's the good kind.
Right. And those who don't, who shall be banished henceforth.
That's the bad kind.
Yeah. I've read stories about movie viewers who marry non-movie viewers.
Ooh. What's that like?
It's like, you know, the Ghostbusters are like, don't cross the streams, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What a life.
So all right, we also got a note from Frodo. I think it was interesting. Last week we spoke about the Deer King, and remember I went like a little bit out on the limb, and I was like, I don't think it looks great.
Yeah.
And I was worried that I was going to offend, but she is our resident animation expert, and she wrote in saying that she generally basically agreed with my assessment of the Deer King. The word that she chose was looking bland.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you were kind of on the same page too. You weren't blown away by that trailer.
I'm not blown away. I want to see it. I'm curious about it. Like, I want to see more about it. Like, I'm into it. But I agree with what you said and what she elaborated a lot more too, just saying that like trailers follow a like predetermined path generally, and animated trailers specifically anime tend to follow a very predetermined format. So
Roger that.
Yeah. So all right, well, that brings us to what are you reading, what are you watching, what are you doing this week, because I want some updates from you as to what's going on.
Well, you might be disappointed.
Oh boy.
I mean, I've still been busy, so my two priorities are Loki and Dune.
Okay, so are you caught up on Loki?
I'm all caught up on Loki. Continue to absolutely love what they're doing with this show. Do you agree? Third episode was amazing.
Yeah.
It's just killing me that you know, I guess it's good because it's kind of like the old days. Like you have to wait a week, you know, and it's exciting. But the reason why I say you might be disappointed is because I picked up Dune and struggled.
No.
So here's what I did. I started over.
Get out of town.
Not entirely, but like I went back to the beginning, I reread, oh right, okay, they're going to this planet. Oh right. Nobody has water. Oh right. The poor people resent the rich people. Oh right. But it definitely like I absolutely reread like a couple chapters.
Okay.
To try to keep myself up to speed. And all I can think about when I'm reading this movie is how excited, like what a great movie it's gonna be.
Yeah. Yeah. My man, you haven't even gotten to the crazy stuff yet. What's happening in the book?
They're still getting sorted out on the new planet.
So they just got to Arrakis, see?
Yeah, they've been there, but they're still like he's getting trained in something. I didn't really understand what that was all about.
They're still in the keep?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. He's probably getting trained in what the Prana Bindu practices, the like special fighting.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to pronounce it, but. Well,
I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a massive nerd.
Here's what I picture. I picture him like, it feels to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like he goes to meet with like some master who teaches him, like the purpose of that meeting is for the master to teach him some kind of skill. And I think the same thing happens with the mom. They have like a stated reason for the meeting, but then they sort of get distracted and end up talking. And like, that's how they're telling the story, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. And that's cool. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
You haven't really gotten to like the meat and potatoes of what's going on with Dune.
Yeah. So cool.
So me, I'm also watching Loki and loving it. And I'll tell you what, there have been times where I've been like, maybe I should watch it again. Like I really like it. Like I kind of want to watch it again. But I'm holding off, and I think I might do a big binge once it's fully in front of us.
No, you know what you should do?
What's that?
You should watch, like, the night before the last episode.
Oh. You let me tell you about some BS with Disney Plus, right? You know me. I want to see this as soon as possible.
Right.
Premieres midnight.
Right.
On... the day it comes at Wednesday.
Tuesday night, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, that's midnight Pacific time. So, and I had this struggle with the Mandalorian, where I'd be tonight's the night. I'm up. I have energy. Go watch this thing. It's midnight. Nope.
That's a total ripoff. That's total. I completely concur.
It's lame brain.
The world revolves around the East Coast, my friend.
That's what I've been saying for ages.
Come on.
Yeah.
Don't you giving me Pacific Standard Time.
That's why we're the
time.
Zero on the clock.
Thank you. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I've also been watching Vikings, which is really
isn't the zero in Greenwich, England?
Good catch there, Ben. I was lying. You figured it out.
I also want to take this opportunity to once again put some bait out there for my brother.
Okay.
Who lives, his whole life is Pacific Standard Time. He lives on the West Coast.
He's living in the past, man.
But what I'm saying is he's not listening.
That's true.
And, and my dad's not listening either, because my dad would have tipped him off.
It's only a matter of time till they give in, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So next week we're going to watch Summer of Soul.
I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you? I did interrupt you. Did you want to say something about Vikings?
I'm watching Vikings. Sorry. And I've been really enjoying it. And it's been great. Actually, I'm only on a couple episodes in because I'm watching with someone, so we're doing it slow. But it's funny because we're watching Vikings and then a question will come up and be like, well, what language are they speaking? Or how far away is that from such and such a place? Half of the time I've got my phone out and we're just educating ourselves on Scandinavian history and stuff like, this is how they sailed. And this is
yeah. That's awesome.
So it's been a lot of fun, but next week, Summer of Soul, huh?
That's Can't wait.
Awesome.
I'm on board.
Cool. Look, if anybody wants to tell us what they thought of Fast Furious 9, Saga, Frontier, whatever, or any movie that they saw this week, or if Penn and I are not watching whatever we should be watching with our spare time, I mean, let us know. Penn doesn't have any spare time. He's reading Dune. So get off his case.
Yeah.
You know?
Give me a little room.
Go ahead and email us, podcast@penncinema.com. That's the best way to get in touch with us. You can also comment on our Facebook page. Lots of people over there to talk to, so that's a lot of fun as well. But if you want to support the show, Penn, what is the number one way for people to do that?
Well, traditionally, the number one way would be to tell a friend.
Traditionally,
but we also understand that probably at this point in the history of the show, I'm assuming that all your friends are listening to the show already.
Probably, yeah.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't be friends with them if they weren't.
I wouldn't.
Right? I mean, geez.
Yeah. My mom's on a tight rope with 36 behind. I'm only like, I'm almost like, you're about to get cut off, lady.
Right. Right. We're going to begin implementing cuts. Yeah. There's going to be a qualification process for people who we think are good enough to listen.
How many episodes have you listened to? How current?
You'd have to sit before a fully convened staff meeting of the Pet Cinema Podcast.
Bob's got to be there. You know he's going to be late.
Right. You got to defend your position. So that's what. But you know what a lot of people are doing, and I've actually gotten some phone calls here from some of our local media.
Oh boy,
is people are writing into their local radio station, like Fun 101 or WGAL, and being like, listen to the Penn Cinema Podcast. And, you know, ultimately what's happening is, I don't know if you saw this on GAL last week, but they were away at commercial and they cut back from commercial. And one of the news reporters was sitting at the desk when he was supposed to be reporting the news, and he was listening to the Penn Cinema Podcast. And you know how you could tell that he was listening?
He was laughing hysterically.
He was laughing hysterically.
Oh, that sounds about right. They got him again.
And any time you see somebody listening to a show and they're laughing, it's got to be us. Because as we say, of all the podcasts out there,
We're one of them. All right. Well, once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care
and
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.